I'm Brandy.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to the Unforced Rhythms of Grace podcast, where we look at doing life from a different perspective than the masses.
Also known as bucking the system. Hey, friends, we're back.
Welcome back again.
We're averaging once a month. I think that's pretty good.
I think we'd be doing good if we did one or two a month.
That's pretty routinely. That's a pretty good stretch.
Yeah.
But what has happened is our weekends get pretty busy. And we keep saying we're going to move it to a different day, and then we don't.
Maybe we should work on like calendar planning and time blocking.
Oh, that is so restrictive.
But it's effective.
That's right up your alley.
I know.
So we thought we would hop on today and talk about marriage from...
Malwage.
Oh, my goodness. Because...
Well, I think that scene in The Princess Bride could have gone on another 10 minutes. Like, it's really, in my mind, way longer than the actual scene is.
There are certain movies that you just really like. That's one of them.
Marriage. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, and so the topic of marriage, we've talked about marriage before, but the topic today is specifically on my mind because tomorrow, which will be in our world, October 5th, so I don't know when somebody might be listening here, but on October the 5th, we will have been married 17 years.
This year. That's amazing.
Like, as in tomorrow.
Right.
And I just wanted to talk about marriage in general. And not a how-to, not how to have a better one. Not do these seven steps and you will have a better marriage, guaranteed, or your money back. But I do think that it's a process and a journey.
I would say that the last 17 years for you have probably been like the best years of your life. Would you not say that?
They have been the best years of my life. And I would say for you too there, darling.
Marriage is easy when you always get your way, isn't it?
It is awesome. But you and I have had this conversation lots of times about and used it in different ways when we're talking about like... Probably most often when we're talking about a relationship with God or we're talking about a process and just realizing that when you and I said I do on October 5th, 2003, we are not even kind of close to the same people that we were on that day that we are now 17 years later.
Yeah.
Like, not even kind of close.
I mean, I'm twice the man I was then. By body weight, I mean.
Well, they say, I guess. When you're happy.
We fat and we happy.
I guess that's the case.
Did I say we? I mean me. Uh-huh. I mean me.
Uh-huh. Yep. Funny enough, I actually weigh less now than I did the day we got married.
I know, that's what I said. I mean hilarious. Me. Not we. We?
Anyway, not necessarily from a physical perspective was I talking about. I actually had blonde hair then, too. I mean, like white blonde hair.
I remember.
Anyway.
And it was like highlighted in dark as it grew out.
Oh, that's familiar still yet today. But not just from a physical perspective, but just from a mental, emotional, knowing how to be married.
You're just being a mature person.
Well, yeah, we have done a lot of maturing together.
Yeah.
for the last lots of time.
Well, I think growing to just like who you are as a person. I remember there was a day years ago when our babies were babies, and I came in one day and I said, I actually like myself, which sounds so weird to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But already being an adult, to just figure out, like, I kind of like who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm done with trying to be other stuff. Like, I kind of like who I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is maturity. I don't care if you're married or not married or wherever you are, a maturity. And I really think that the only way you can ever get to that point is knowing how much you are loved by Daddy God and knowing that He sees you as perfect, righteous, and blameless. And as you just have that love poured out on the inside of you, you stop comparing and trying to change other people. Like, you stop all those things because you realize, it's just exhausting, and it's the definition of insanity.
Yeah, I think there's a point too of being narcissistic, and you look in the mirror and say, what's not to love? What is not to love about this? But that's not exactly what we're talking about. I think what we're talking about is more along the lines of, I know I am not perfect, but like, I still like myself.
Yeah.
With all my faults, I still appreciate what God has made me into.
Right.
The current being.
Right.
What you see before your eyes right now.
Well, I think
that was not a real laugh, I could tell. That was very insincere.
And those are the things you get to learn about each other all along the way. Well, I think, like, just thinking about when we got married, we were very immature. We were both working a job in healthcare. We spent a lot of time drinking.
Yeah.
With other people. I mean, you know, like, there were a lot of things that we were coming from doing, and then
we get out, drink a catfish.
But then, you know, and then we met up with some different friends, and we, you know, our lives changed. Yeah. and they changed for the better. Like,
right.
Being around couples who had good marriages, and mm-hmm. you know, I remember even just learning that, you know, you're just, the things that you say are powerful to other people. Like, I had no idea. I knew nothing mm-hmm. of the sort. And I remember just watching a couple that mentored us for a really long time, and just watching the way they interacted with each other. They never spoke down to each other. They never called out flaws, especially not in front of other people. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not cool, not okay to be sarcastic or make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, those were the things that I knew of other people doing. I was never taught not to do that until we came, came and were mentored by this couple. And so just watching good marriages, not that our parents didn't have good marriages, they both certainly did. My dad had died by the time you and I got married, so you know, when I was not married, I did. You just don't pay attention to those things,
right?
Now, or when I was young, I mean. So it's not that we didn't have examples; like, we just didn't pay attention to them,
right?
And then, you know, like, it's taking the things like. I think this was the direction I was going with earlier, just in the way that we use marriage to describe other things. The process and the journey of, you know, you and I loved each other the day we got married, but it's a totally different
appreciation.
Experience,
yeah.
It's a totally different thing now than what it was then.
Yeah.
And even just learning how to be a wife, like, you know, I thought I knew what I was signing up for on that day. I had no idea. 17 years later, I always say, like, you know, you kind of know what you're signing up for when you get kids until you have to floss teeth. That is the single grossest thing ever. I mean, I can change a diaper all day long. Teeth, those things are gross. Anyway, that was a side note. But just all along the way, because we love each other, there are things we just learned about each other along the way that we now do because of love, not because it's a have to. It's not because it's my duty as a wife. It's not because if I don't, you will. There are just things along the way that you just, oh, they really like that, so I want to do that for them, and it makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
The input you're giving me is so strong today.
Well, I'm just listening. I'm learning. I'm taking notes.
One of us is a talker, and one of us is a thinker.
And you love me. You have to. You said you would.
There was this one time. How did I say it? I said, can we just not think today?
Yeah.
Like, he likes to overanalyze everything. In my world, it's overanalyzing. In his world, it's just analyzing. But for the love, like, when he's like, well, what did they mean when they said it that way? I'm like, well, I'm just assuming they said what they said, and that's what they meant. Well, yeah, but what about, like, what was the situation? How was their face looking? And which is all awesome, but I mean, I'm kind of like, if you said it, that's what you meant.
Well, I'm just sitting here considering all the things about marriage that I want to talk about, but we got to keep this family related. You know what I mean? Or family. What am I trying to say? Family
PG,
rated.
G, not PG.
You got to keep it G rated.
G rated for, I'm not real sure what point in time when it actually was G rated, because we were watching G rated barbecue cook off yesterday, yeah, oh, and there's, gosh, bad, yeah, words flying everywhere.
A bunch of them, not just a few.
I know. I'm like, this is not G. Anyway.
Jeez.
Well, even things as simple as that, just the things that, like, we were okay with putting in our brains,
yeah,
for a long time, and, you know, with marriage and stuff. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, those things aren't good for you. It's kind of like food.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've had several conversations where I feel like we have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the secret is. I mean, I don't know what the secret is. I just know it's good. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I think everybody has some really crappy relationships when you're growing up in your late teens, early 20s.
Sure.
And you know, we had those, but I don't know what the secret is.
Yeah. Like, well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a, oh, well, you should get up and read your Bible every day together. And there's not you should go on a date every week. I mean, those things are all good, and those things are all fine if, yeah, you do them, but there's not a secret sauce.
No, yeah.
Truthfully, for me, I feel like our marriage has become even better the more that I take my eyes off of you being my source, mm-hmm, for anything, and I put them on Jesus and his finished work as my complete source, which means now I'm not putting a burden and a stress on you to provide financially,
right,
for the family. I'm not putting, right, a burden and a stress on you that you've got to be the one that makes me happy.
Right.
I'm not forcing you to work extra hours or act a certain way because I need you to be that way so that I can have something else. Once I figured out, like, oh, like, God's my source no matter what it is that I need, whether it's happiness or peace, like, it's not up to you to make the house peaceful. It's not up to you to make ends meet. Like, when that revelation comes, like, all of a sudden, you and I can just have a grand old time because I'm not demanding a change out of you to fit something I need.
Yeah, no, and I think that's just a great picture of what grace really is, or what living in grace really is. It's not about being a doormat and giving people grace all the time,
right,
but it is about just knowing that God is our provider.
Right.
And you don't have to fix all of my quirks because you just trust God to do that.
Well,
right?
And I love how you did that, so you didn't say anything negative about me. You were so sweet.
That's called people skills.
Uh-huh. And you do well with it. I know there's nothing wrong with you, darling, so we will keep this all about me and my flaws.
I'm not stupid.
In the same manner, though, like, you don't have to tell me, like, I remember listening to a pastor one time, and he had had a really wild drinking, drug, womanizing kind of background. And he would say that when somebody, like when he was in the midst of that time, it's like somebody would say, you're bad. You're going to hell. You're bad. And he was like, as if I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so I look at that, like when people are having a bad day or if people are just, you know, doing something, it's getting on your nerve, you, yeah, know, whatever. most likely they know that.
Yeah.
Most likely they understand that flaw. That flaw is probably as glaring to them as it is to you. And if we just operate in love instead of like pointing our finger at it and like pushing on it and making it be that much bigger, then, but when we love on them, it just opens up the door for God to come in and do the work in their heart that needs to be done instead of constantly pointing it out.
Well, let's quit talking about flaws because I'm getting nervous. But so here, different direction. So how is it that you and I continue to laugh at each other, with each other? You know, I mean, like, for real, like, we have a good time. We went to dinner last night.
Yeah.
And we genuinely had a good time.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, I had to take the phone out of your hands. But once I did that, we genuinely had a good time.
Uh-huh.
Why do we still have a good time?
Because yours was not in your hand, not one time.
Only for important things.
For work,
things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Work, quote unquote. I was working, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why do we still have a good time?
Well, I think because we like each other.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
why do we like each other?
Yeah, like, why do we like each other?
I don't know.
I really don't know why we do, but we do. But I see a lot of people in life where I don't think they do.
Well, I think, I mean, personality-wise, I think we're opposites, which can make for a really negative situation, or you can look at it on the positive side, which means...
God knew you needed me bad.
He knew I get wound up pretty tight sometimes, and your little happy, peaceful self just goes, shh. And you rub my feathers back down. But, I mean, because there are dominant parts of personalities. And when you have the complement, the opposites of that, it does flow very well together. Well, what if you're married and your personalities are opposite? I don't know. I'm sure it works out, too.
Ours are opposite.
I mean, if they're not opposite, if you're the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Why do you like me so much?
Well,
G-rated.
Again, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's G-rated. But I do think one of the things that I enjoy is, like, I still can aggravate you. Like, I can poke you and have fun, and we can both laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
only sometimes.
There are times when I ought not poke you.
That's true.
Yeah. Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah, but I think that's another piece of the relationship that's just interesting.
Well, I think too, you talked about like being able to laugh, and I think that's just something that I know there's seasons when you and I haven't laughed very much, and then there are seasons where we have, and if I go back and kind of look at those time frames and see why it was, I mean, your job was quit all jobs. That's the problem with marriages today. No. Well, maybe.
It's a big indicator.
It's an indicator. Yeah. But I think it was, like, there was so much pressure and so much stress at work, it carried over and came home with you, and there wasn't a whole lot of laughing.
Yeah.
Because your mind was still on all of that.
Yeah. You were always very, very gracious. You know, even on the toughest of days, like, you didn't put anything extra on me, which was awesome.
Well, I think, like, the circumstances around us do play a factor in being able to enjoy each other. I think also just, you know, I hated with a capital H everything that the pandemic brought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has been a sore spot for me. Have I learned anything through it? Well, once I finally quit being mad about it, I think the biggest thing is actually slowing down.
Yeah.
I think that's another big thing that, you know, maybe not as much in other countries, but in America specifically, when you're constantly going and there is no time for rest and breaks, that's an indicator too, or I mean, an indicator, I guess, if you will, but that's also just another source for not having fun.
Yeah.
Because if you're always tired, like, I know when I'm tired, and there comes a point where, like, there's a point of no recovery. Like, I have got to, because I like people.
Yeah.
But there comes a point when I've had so much going on that I've got to have sleep, physical sleep, and then just rest, like, not being around other people.
Well, when you think about, you know, your mom if there's any one person who's probably had the biggest or made the biggest impact on our marriage, it's got to be your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because from day one, when we brought Isaac home from the hospital, every single week, she has been here to give us 2 hours, 3 hours to go out. You know, maybe we're grocery shopping.
Right.
I mean, generally, we're not going to on date nights every week, but it is a date night. I mean, it is a time where you and I can just go together, and she's here with the kids.
Right.
Like one night a week, every week. That's 52 adult date nights a year, and I don't think a lot of couples get that.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
And that's been 12 years.
Yeah.
And so I have to say that our relationship, it is what it is, in part because your mom has been such a blessing to just give us 3 hours. If that's the one thing that I want to do for our kids as they grow up, is be able to give them and their spouse just a night a week or a night every other week.
Yeah.
It's big.
I like how you only commit to every other week.
Well, I mean, she spoiled us because she's been here every single week. But even if you had two nights a month where you just knew she didn't charge anything, she didn't, I mean, she actually folds clothes.
Yeah.
she washes actually dishes.
Does a lot.
Well, because she can't sit still.
Well, but think about on the opposite side of it is, you know, part of being in a marriage is all the things that have to be done. And it's, you know, cooking and cleaning and laundry, and the house needs to be kept up. And then if you're working a full-time job, if both spouses are working a full-time job and you have children on top of that, I mean, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up with all of that, and then you throw on sports and, you know, extracurricular activities and whatever else, and I mean, that's a recipe for just exhaustion. But, you know, like, it is like angel singing if I walk in and, you know, there's been a big load of laundry sitting in the chair that should have been folded for like a week, and then she folded it. You know, it's just like that, an extra. And I'm not saying that everybody needs, you know, somebody extra. Like, we can do that for each other as spouses, number one. But, you know, one of the things I learned, especially after we first had kids, was I had no idea how hard it was to have kids. And, like, my hats were off to all the moms who'd gone before me, and they had figured this thing out. But what I also realized when I did not have kids, and it was just you and I married, and we thought we were so busy and had all no free time whatsoever.
We didn't know squat.
We knew nothing. But what I didn't realize then that I could have done to be a blessing to my moms who were, or my friends who were moms, is say, hey, let us come over. We have no obligations at home.
Yeah.
Let us come over and take care of your kids. Y'all go out.
Right.
I didn't know to do that.
Right.
And even now, like, if you don't have family in town, make a friend that y'all could swap with.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, I'll keep your kids one night and y'all go. A friend of mine, she and a girl from her church did that. And the mom actually went over to the friend's house. And so dad was home with their own kids. She went over to the friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
So their kids could go to bed in their own bed, go to bed at the right bedtime. And it was just a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And they swapped that back and forth. Those are just huge things that that maybe you've never thought of, or I knew I had not thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some pressure off and just is a blessing to other people.
Yep.
So, well,
Advice for the future?
Well, I think the only advice that I have is when, you know, it's scripture, which is when you seek first God in his way of doing things, everything else is added. And so maybe you need a good marriage added, or maybe you need some peace added, or maybe you need some rest added. No, his eyebrows are going up. Ooh.
What else do I need?
But when we seek God first in knowing that his finished work completed everything that will ever, I mean, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He died so that we could have an abundant life. Like, he's given us everything. And when we keep our eyes on that, it automatically takes pressure off of all the relationships in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my takeaway. What's your takeaway? G-rated. One track mind.
That's not true. I mean, I have two tracks generally.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think the ability to laugh.
Yeah.
at yourself first, right?
Yeah.
And then with your spouse and partner. You know, I think it's interesting the word partner is used a lot as it relates to unmarried people. That's kind of the term we use for unmarried people that have decided to team up together, partner.
Right.
But the truth is, I think, like, married people, you got to be partners. True. Like, this is a two-way street.
Right.
And that's why it's kind of the recipe for success. I think in the big picture, marriage was designed for two people to partner.
Right.
So when one's strong, the other doesn't have to be. Or when one is not strong, the other one can be.
Right. Exactly.
But it is a partnership.
I agree with that. Well, awesome. Well, we'll wrap up for today. We love you guys, and we'll
this
catch up.
This is one of our let's just sit and ruminate.
We just ruminated on our past 17 years.
Well, it's a little uncomfortable for me to talk like this because, like, I personally feel, although I'm not perfect, I think we have a great relationship.
I would agree.
But my thought with this conversation is not to nanny nanny boo boo. I got some ice cream and you can't have none.
I got some ice cream and you ain't got none.
If I were really tech savvy, we would play the scene from The Princess Bride, marriage. But yeah, so I don't know. It's a little uncomfortable for me to talk about it because I think it is so cool, and I do know a lot of people don't have it because the divorce rate's at like 60%.
True.
But I don't know what our secret is other than all these little things added together and just ultimately thankful to God.
Yeah. Try, fail, and adjust. We tried some stuff and it did not work well.
It did not work.
Don't do that ever again.
So we adjust.
Right. Exactly. Awesome. Well, we love you guys. Thanks for joining us today and we'll catch up soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Unforced Rhythms podcast. Don't forget to check out our show notes where we'll have links to the resources we discussed today. You can also find us on Instagram at unforcedrhythms.grace. We also have a hashtag unforcedrhythms.grace where we would love for you guys to use it and we can follow along and see what's happening in your lives. We have a Facebook community called Unforced Rhythms, and this is a place where you can gain and share ideas on how to move into the Unforced Rhythms lifestyle. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes. We'll catch up with you guys next week.